It's never too late to make a change, and it's never too hard to make any change. Making the decision is really the hardest part, and then sticking to that decision. But you can do that. You can make that change, and it's not as hard as you think.
Hello, Christy. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
And for anybody listening and for anybody that is not yet familiar with who you are and what you do, could you introduce yourself to us?
Sure, I'm a transformational life coach, and I use strategies that are based on my own transformation that started in 2011. In the span of 6 months, I gave up being an alcoholic, gave up a toxic corporate job, and got out of an abusive marriage. And within 2 years, I had rebuilt my life into something beautiful, having my own successful spa in Dallas and being married to a wonderful man who I've blended a family with now, and have been married to for the last 9 years. And I've gotten to do all of this while being sober.
Wonderful, wonderful. Sounds like you've had quite the shift. And where did that start for you? What was your spark for, oh no, we can't be doing that anymore?
Well, there were three major changes in 6 months. So I would start by addressing maybe the alcoholism. I had been in denial for a while that I was an alcoholic. I had tried everything to not quit drinking and to try to drink moderately. People out there who are trying to make a change, this might sound familiar because the change cycle is such that you decide to make a change, you're really excited about it, and then you start. Reality starts to set in about what that'll look like. You tell people about it. You may have some naysayers. You start to have some doubts. You start to be uncomfortable. You decide that maybe this wasn't such a good idea and the old familiar ways are better. And maybe you can make those work and not be so bad. And it's sort of a negotiating technique with yourself. So that's the change cycle. And with me, I had for probably a year before I actually quit drinking. Done everything a person could probably imagine, and a few things that maybe you couldn't imagine. I had tried hypnosis for learning to drink moderately. I had, which of course did not work, none of it worked. I had tried a medication called Campryl that was supposed to allow you to drink moderately. And take away your craving to want to drink so much. I had made many deals with myself. Only drink on Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Only drink one bottle of wine a night instead of two bottles of wine a night. So I had really resisted that change because it was such a big part of my identity, which is the case when anyone goes to make any change, right? And I had a situation a couple months before I quit for good where my uncle actually died from end stage alcoholism. And at the funeral, his daughters, who were in their 20s at the time, were so devastated. The grief was palpable. They were unable to contain their grief, just the raw pain of losing their father to something that was completely preventable and could have been in his control and something they had talked to him about to no avail. They'd even tried an intervention. And I'm sitting at that funeral next to my then 4 or 5 year old and looking at her and thinking, what if this ends up being her one day? There's obviously a genetic component to this. Everybody in my family drinks a lot. A lot of people have joined AA. At that point, I had two relatives who had essentially died from alcoholism on different sides of my family. I had people in AA on both sides of my family and started thinking, like, this could end really badly. And I have a responsibility to this sweet child to give her a life that's better than that, to be present. And that's really what made me make the decision. Now, it still took me a little while because I still had to, go have a lot of, binge drinking and fun before I actually committed to it and plan it out and have time to really wrap my mind around it. It wasn't the next day or the next week. It was still 2 or 3 months later, 2 months later, actually. And then I, went out in style on Thanksgiving, had all the drinks and all the fun and woke up the next day and got myself some help at a outpatient rehab place, intensive outpatient treatment.
So very ironically, and pun intended, cold turkey quitting.
Yes, nobody has ever made that joke. That is great. Was 100% correct. Yes. But actually, I did not quit exactly cold turkey because, and for anyone out there who may have a problem with alcohol and consider and is considering quitting, you actually really need to get medication or detox under the supervision of someone, of a medical professional, because you can actually die from detoxing. So I had a doctor who prescribed me, because in advance I knew I was going to do this on the day after Thanksgiving, and I got this medication that was like a sedative or something that you took certain amounts of for several days while you were detoxing. And if you started to feel certain symptoms, you were supposed to call. So I just want to put that out there for anyone who may be thinking of doing it. It can actually be very dangerous to go cold turkey.
That's a very, very good point to make. But would you say that, like you said, the story of why that started happening was, like you said, that relationship that you felt, or perhaps those shocking experiences that you had seen for yourself? Would you say that your future vision had anything to do with that? Like you said, seeing yourself in that job that you didn't particularly like, and in other circumstances in your life that were not exactly positive, did you see that as being part of maybe your future identity in terms of changing that and then not being who you used to be?
I wish that I had been that organized and had that type of clarity, but it was more of a situation that I knew I was really unhappy. And I knew that my job was a big source of being unhappy. So that was the first thing that I changed. And I left that job and had no plan for what I was going to do next. I had savings and realized I needed to not hop to another job that I thought would be better. I needed to take some time off. I had traveled internationally extensively in my corporate job. It was an international director position, and I had not seen my kiddo a lot. So I had decided when I left, I would leave and take a year to figure out what was going on, spend some time with her. And during that time, what I actually figured out was I am really an alcoholic, and I'm not just drinking a lot because I go to a lot of big dinners with, corporate people. And it's not just because the job is making me miserable and it is a problem. And I've now seen from my uncle's fate what could happen to me. And so that was part of what happened during that time off. And then also, I realized I have to get out of this abusive marriage. Like, essentially, the other things that happened once I got that time off, I started to get clarity around ending certain things that were going on, but I did not have a clear plan for where I would go with those things yet.
Definitely, definitely. And in terms of what you're talking about with your job and being miserable at your job, is that something that happened over time? And I'm asking that from the perspective of, I think I can speak for many people when they say, oh, I don't like my job and I hate my job. But I feel like there is a difference between not liking your job and being miserable. Do you deal with people in on that spectrum that, okay, maybe this is not the fulfillment of your dreams, but I mean, it's okay for now. Where would you say, in terms of any advice potentially that you can give it to anybody that is in that position that is feeling, okay, I don't feel I can do this any longer? Do you have any tips, maybe in hindsight, looking back at what you did, do you have any recommendations?
Yes, so that's a great point. They are two different things. There are people who have jobs that are maybe a little bit annoying, or they have to deal with people who are a little bit annoying, or there are different things that you don't like. It's called work for a reason. It's not all fun and games. But in my particular case, we had some corporate backstabbing and things that I did not like. There were some ethical situations that did not align for me. And I started to realize toward the end that I was in a job and I was in a situation where my core values, my authentic self was not in alignment with their actions and the things that they were doing. And even the nature of the job was not in alignment with my core values in the sense that I wanted to see my child more. I didn't want to miss the first time that she crawled and the first time that she walked, but I did. I missed one of my best friend's weddings and it damaged our friendship to the point that she doesn't even really talk to me anymore because I had meetings in Latin America that I was unable to miss. So I was very out of sync and out of alignment with my core values and my authentic self. And I believe that if that is your situation in your job, that you are out of, you're out of alignment, well, then it's time to definitely make a change. And that's something that I definitely help people with, because then you need to do something, because there's no amount of promotions, there's no amount of raises, there's no amount of glamorous titles and those types of things that is ever going to make you like that job and be happy and feel fulfilled. You are meant for something else.
And how did you get into that road of, I suppose, self-discovery? Like you said, when you took that time off, that year off, that you started noticing all of these things, was it just by coincidence, perhaps, that you just started seeing, oh, this is happening, and oh, there is also that thing? Or were you doing some very deep internal analysis of yourself, and that's how that arose for you?
I honestly was not doing deep analysis. I was just trying to recover from having been in that, being in that job. And I, like I said, my uncle died, and that was a catalyst. And I had a situation with my ex-husband that was such that I had no choice but to get out of that relationship. One of my core values had been that when you get married, it's forever. You're committed to that person for better, for worse. You just don't get divorced. For whatever reason, that was just in my psyche, in my mind. And the abusive situation and the toxic situation of that marriage had gone on for a long time. And I should have made a decision to get out, especially for the safety of my kiddo, long before I did. And then one day during that 6 months right after I'd left the job, I had what I guess I would call a literal wake-up call. I was asleep in the middle of the night and was awakened by the full weight of my ex-husband on top of me, hitting me and telling me I was a horrible person and he was going to kill me. And it was quite terrifying, and more so than other things that had happened, because he was really out of his mind in a way that I had not seen before. And I was really terrified. And I started to reach to the nightstand for my phone so I could call the police, which I never got to do. And as I was reaching for the phone, he said, "What are you going to do? Are you trying to get your phone so you can call the police? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to have Riley's dad hauled away in front of her by the police? Is that the kind of horrible, selfish mother you are? It is. That sounds about right for you." And I thought, if she comes in right now, I can't protect her. He is really out of his mind this time, more so than usual. And what would I do? And what might happen to her? And the next day I woke up and I talked to the marriage counselor, called the marriage counselor, said, "I need to come in," because she knew about the abuse. And I said, "I need to figure out a safe way to get out of this today." So I had dropped her off at school and had a friend pick her up and dealt with it. But it really took that, because I had such a strong core belief that you don't get divorced. It really took something that was beyond regular. You know, he had a lot of issues, and he would do other things. You know, he threw me out of a car one time, and he, you know, would kick me so hard in the middle of the night out of nowhere that I would fly out of the bed, like multiple times. Like, there were so many things that happened. He would throw things at me. I mean, there were constantly unstable, unsafe things that were happening in that marriage. And I apparently needed something that really shook me to the point that my child's safety was in question before I could really make that change. Change is hard. Big changes, like deciding to get a divorce, no matter what the reason, it's hard to make that decision. And then once you make that decision, it's actually not as hard as you think it's going to be if you can follow the strategies. Like, you know, if you can follow like strategies that I outline or someone else outlines, or something that helps you have support and be able to change your mindset to be able to change your life. It's not as hard as you think. It's not easy. It's not the easiest thing in the world, but you feel like it's insurmountable to change something that big, like your career or your marriage or a health thing, but it's really not. It's just, you have to kind of know what you're doing. And I was on my own, so I figured it out for myself. But it's just something that anybody can do if they want to.
And Christy, I feel like that's a wonderful point that you're making, that it was that belief that was holding you back, not even the physical constraints potentially, but it was more so just what was going on in your head that was preventing you from, like you said, seeing what was going on, seeing the potential consequences of that. And I would really love to dig a little bit deeper into that, if you will, with the power of our own beliefs, and I suppose an important point of those beliefs not always being true and not always being right, even though we believe in them, they don't necessarily have to be the truth. Have you noticed that with other parts of your life? Something that you've noticed that I believe this, I think this, I agree with this, and then you realize one day that, hey, maybe that's not necessarily true.
Well, we definitely all have core beliefs, and some of them are healthy and some of them are not. And some of them are factual and some of them are not. And that's one of the things that I work with people on is figuring out what those beliefs are, because some of those can be very limiting, right? Like, for example, I can't get out of this marriage because I believe in marriage being forever, or I can't get out of this corporate job because it pays so well and the benefits are so good, and I'll never find another job like this, right? And so those were other core beliefs that I had at that time that held me back, and I had to finally prioritize that being mentally healthy and not hating life had to be more important than any amount of money or any great benefits package. So those core beliefs are definitely something we all have, and some of them are good and some of them are not. So we have to really look at that and figure it out before we decide what we want to do with those. And it's very difficult to look at those beliefs because they're usually long held and come from a place in your childhood and are ingrained.
Certainly, certainly. And I'd love to come back to what you said before, that change is hard, but it's not the hardest thing that you're ever going to do, or perhaps maybe not as hard as you imagine them to be. So would you say after the gigantic changes that you've made in your life, do you feel more ready, more prepared, more confident potentially to make those big changes?
Yes, like now I feel like I can do absolutely anything having done those. I feel like I can help anyone do absolutely anything after having done those changes. I think that confidence definitely comes with that experience. But if you look back on your life, no matter who's listening, there are things in your life, if you really check your resume, where you've made some hard decision in your life and it was for the better. So if you're trying to make a big change, just think about doing that on a larger scale, like to build your confidence, because you can do it. You have done it. You're just not thinking about the fact you've done it before. So, if you dig deep into the past, you can find that you have done that and just check your resume. You're stronger than you think.
And do you have any perhaps tips or tricks or recommendations for people to make those changes a little bit easier, a little bit smoother?
Yes, I wish that I had known everything that I know now in the beginning. It would have been a lot easier. And I will say, some of the things that I came across that were helpful to me that might be helpful to listeners. For example, positive affirmations, to help you, realize like I am sober and I am happy. I am sober and I am alert, or whatever the good things are that are, for example, coming from whatever change that you've made, right? For me, in the alcoholism and quitting drinking frame, what was really huge for me was yoga, because any kind of exercise gets out stress and that gives you relief. And that's a coping mechanism that's healthy that can replace drinking. In my case, I also figured out if I did yoga at night, like at 6 o'clock during what would normally be when I would start drinking, that helped to replace drinking as an activity, so to speak. And replacement activities are a huge thing if you are making a health change. Just like they tell you the simple things, like if you're thinking you're going to eat a cookie, eat an apple instead. It's not so sweet, right? It's sort of that simple, right? And meditation was huge for being able to clear my mind and get the stress out, and breath techniques to like learn how to attach a thought to breath and let it go. Getting through that divorce, it was very ugly, as you can imagine, in terms of he was threatening, I'm going to take full custody. I'm going to tell them you're an alcoholic, and then I'm going to get full custody of our daughter. And that was the most terrifying thing I could imagine. And so the stress of that and the weight of that made it almost impossible to be able to focus on anything else. And so I was able to use those kinds of techniques to release that stress and to clear my mind and keep moving forward. So any of those things, replacement activities, exercise, is helpful no matter what your issue is that you're trying to do something, when you're trying to do something different, meditation is good for anything. And then changing your mindset. I mean, thinking abundantly instead of having a scarcity mentality, you know, like all I could think about leaving my job was I won't have this benefits package. I won't ever have a salary like this again. I won't ever, you know, have the perks that I have again. And, you know, was so fearful of that, that that's what kept me there for years longer than I should have been there. And once I finally let that go and thought, but I could have some new beautiful life I've never even thought of, then that opened up possibilities. I didn't have any idea what that looked like. I knew that I had a lot of interest in being an entrepreneur, but I did not know what that would look like. And I was, of course, a little bit scared to go down that path. But I was able to do it. And that was also mindset strategies. It's really all comes down to if you can change your thinking, if you can change your mind, you can change your life.
I love to preach that too, and I'm a very strong believer of that as well, that it's all just in your head at the end of the day, and whatever you tell yourself really creates your own reality. And I'd love to, with that, circle back to what you said with affirmations and with positive affirmations. You talk about the law of attraction as well. For anybody that is not really within that topic, doesn't really know what that's all about, could you give us a little bit of a deeper scope?
Yes. So the law of attraction is simply put that like attracts like, same attracts same, right? So if I am constantly thinking of how amazing my life is, how successful I am, I'm going to be successful. It's going to attract that to my life. If I am constantly thinking about my business and the great revenue it's going to have or whatnot, it's going to have great revenue because I'm going to do the things that are going to lead to that. I'm going to have the attitude that is going to lead to that. And the universe is going to attract energy to that. Where your attention goes, energy flows. So you have to put your energy into a positive space and on what you want it to be on. And with the law of attraction, it works in the opposite way too. So if you have negative beliefs, those are also going to attract like or same things to you. And I heard a great example the other day. So if somebody's upset because they've been on a bad date and they feel like it was like the 10th bad date they've been on, and you ask them, you know, you're asking questions about it, and they say, well, I think that, you know, I'm not destined to ever find the right one. I mean, every date I go on is worse than the one before. Well, is that a belief that you hold? Is that like a limiting belief that you really think that you'll never find someone? And is that energy attracting the bad dates? Because you believe that you're never going to find the right person. You're never going to find a good person. You're saying that all the good ones are taken. And if that is your belief, you're not going to attract the right person. And so it attracts negatively as well. So you have to be super careful with that. And you have to be careful with everything you think and everything you say. Words are creative. What you put out into the universe creates your reality. So, I mean, anything that you say, if you're talking about, you know, like I have chronic migraine, and if I talk all the time about my head hurts, you know, my head hurts all the time, I feel a migraine coming on or whatever, the next thing you know, I am in bed for days with a migraine. If I don't talk about it and I release those thoughts as they come and I think of them like, you know, the head starts to hurt and I think of that thought coming to my mind as a cloud that's passing in the sky, as a leaf that has fallen in the beautiful stream and is going by, and I release it and I let it go and I don't speak it, I find that I can survive chronic migraine by not having constant migraines, but by having fewer and them not being as bad. And that has been a huge mindset shift for me that has helped in that particular situation. And so if you really even think about it, if you're a religious person at all, God spoke the world into existence. Words are creative. And if we are in his image, we can speak things into reality, good or bad. So we have to be super careful with our thoughts and our words.
I would say that was incredibly well articulated, Christy. So thank you very, very much for sharing that, because I feel like a lot of people get stuck in that negative circle of exactly what you're talking about. Oh, well, I had 10 negative experiences, so all that I can think about are the negative experiences. But if you keep thinking about the negative experiences, then that's all that's going to continue happening, and so on and so on. And the examples that you gave, I would suppose, are perfect. And there is also the story, I wonder if you've heard it before, of the two monks. And the two monks are they're by religion not supposed to talk to women, or they're not supposed to touch women, and they're just not supposed to be in contact with women. And they come to a stream, and there is a young woman standing by the stream, and she can't cross because she doesn't want to get wet. And so one of the monks, not thinking much, just picks her up, carries her across the stream, and sets her down and continues walking. And the other monk looks at him terrified. But why did you do that? You touched a woman. You're not supposed to touch a woman. We're monks. It's against our religion. And the other monk said, I set her down over there. Why are you still carrying her? And I really love that because he was just so mad and so angry and just so in his thoughts, oh, why did you do that? And he just did something good, picked her up, let her go, and he just continued going on with his life, not thinking too much about it. And I suppose that's a very nice message. I would suppose, considering what you're talking about as well, if something happened, something negative, something bad, okay, well, it happened, just let it go. Like you said, with the leaf in the
Yes.
stream, and just move on.
Yes. And it's true too when you look at things like reframing your life, for example. Like, so you can hold on to the things that you've done that are mistakes in your life or that you're not proud of in your life. And you can feel bad, like, that's who I am, and not focus on the good things because you feel so bad about the bad things. And then you have a negative self-image, but you can go back and reframe that. You can go back and think, okay, so as a child, like, what are the things I think of now? And they might be negative things, like, oh, I got in trouble that one time because I did this and I was always talking too much and getting in trouble and whatever. Well, also, did I win the fundraiser for the American Heart Association? Was I the most determined person? Why don't I think about that? Maybe I'm a really determined person, or all the different things that you can think about going all the way back to childhood that you might remember that are negative things. If you can go back and let those go, like a cloud passing or a leaf in a stream, and then focus on all the good things and how those have become characteristics in your life now, it also helps with your core beliefs about yourself. So it can apply. There's really no end to how it can apply.
Have you experienced maybe with yourself or the people perhaps that you've worked with that there are certain beliefs or certain situations that are much more difficult to let go of or to reframe as you said? And do you have any perhaps recommendations for how to deal with those?
Well, I think that you have to be really careful because with horrible trauma, it is very hard to reframe that into something that is really great, but you can reframe it in the sense that, for example, people with a lot of trauma, which my daughter has a lot of trauma from her abusive father, and you can look at that and reframe it as people with trauma also are extremely intuitive because they're always looking around to see what's going on. They have a high awareness, and that helps them in things such as sales because they are intuitive and they're listening and they're having, a high sensitivity to what's happening, which helps them know how to respond. And knowing how to respond in a conversation or in a situation, for example, is going to help you close a business deal. It's going to help you do all kinds of great things. So if you can find the good in the worst things, you can find the good at anything,
Certainly, certainly. And I'd love to also come back a little bit, Christy, to what you mentioned with meditation, with the breathing exercises. How has that helped you? Do you have any maybe favorite techniques, anything that you can recommend?
So with meditation, and I talk about meditation in my book, and there's a whole chapter dedicated to it because I think it is one of the most life-changing things that anyone can do. But I start that chapter by saying, I know that you're tempted to skip this chapter. I know that you don't want to read this chapter and that meditation is something you've tried and it seems hard and it seems awkward. Yes. And it's something you think that what you think there are benefits to, but you don't really want to do. And I was like, please hang in there with me and read this short little chapter on meditation because there is a type of meditation for every person. And most people think of what you've just, what you just signified, which is the sitting crisscross and, you can't have any thoughts in your mind and you have to keep releasing them. And that is one kind of meditation, of course. But there are also guided meditations and there's body scan meditation and there's the meditation you can do at the end of yoga during Savasana. And I mean, there's just so many different options, right? There's 1 minute meditations. There are 20 minute meditations. There are so many options. So if people really want to learn how to do it, they can find a meditation that is right for them. I, in particular, love guided meditation. I love the imagery, and I can relax and go to a different place with that and feel that I am able to really get clarity. It, first of all, clears anxiety and depression and all kinds of other things, but it also is a place that you can manifest your future. It's a place you can see your future clearly and be able to put those thoughts into your mind so that when you're finished with your meditation, they start to become action. They're subconsciously into your mind, and you can move forward with things that you never really thought of or you had a block with. And as an example, over the last year, I really got into guided meditation for manifesting, and I started just doing that regularly. And I had a vision in one of those meditations that I should take my experience from 2011 and then the rebuilding of my life and take all those strategies that I figured out and share those with people in a book, and then also offer the opportunity for people to be coached and be able to make changes, big or small, in their lives because of it. That was not something I had ever had on my mind before. It was not something I had thought about at all. In fact, I had never even told my story from 2011 to anyone, including my husband of 9 years, until I wrote this book and he read it. Did he understand all the pieces of that story? My best friends did not know the truth. Like, people did not know I was an alcoholic. I used to tell people for the last decade plus that I just don't drink because people in my family drink a lot. And I just, you know, I just don't drink a lot. Well, that's not really the whole truth. And I, you know, oh, well, what happened with your daughter's father? Oh, it just didn't work out, you know, and so on. I never told anybody the ugly parts of that story. In fact, I guided it with my life. I spun my answers to every question that I ever got for years. And through a moment of clarity and meditation, I realized I have to tell the story, A, to be my authentic self and really live my best life and to be completely authentic, and also to have deeper relationships with people by telling the truth and to help people by telling the truth. And I, because there's such a stigma out there. So if people are hiding it, what does that say? And if people come out and are like, I'm really a pretty normal person having a, you know, really successful life, and I overcame alcoholism, and it's, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, a lot of great people are alcoholics, recovered alcoholics. You know, then maybe I can help the world in some small way. So I had that sort of vision during a meditation for a guided meditation for manifesting. And in that also, I saw I'm going to write a book and what it looked like, what the chapters were, what, which things I was going to talk about that I had discovered, through my own transformation. And then, within weeks, I just sat down one day and was like, okay, I'm going to write this book. And I wrote it in less than a week. I wrote it on my phone in the Notes app, and then transferred some of it to the Pages app because it came to me so quickly. And I have my spa, Face Logic Dallas, so I am there a lot too, and I have a lot going on with that. And I just, it was like I had to get it out. And it was like so fun to do, to put it all on paper and think like someone's going to read this and it might help them. And, you know, it could even change their life to know my story and to know my strategies of how to do this. And if I had had these strategies when I made this change, it would have been so much easier, so much faster, so much more productive. And that all came through a meditation. I mean, I wasn't looking for that. I certainly didn't need a second business. I'm pretty busy with the first one, and it just came to me, and it was so clear. I mean, it was crazy how clear it was. I mean, it was like, I literally just sat down and was like, these are the chapters and these are the stories that I'm going to tell about how I discovered this particular strategy. And it was just done. It, you know, it was a crazy thing. So that's just one example, but it's so powerful.
And would you say as a result of that deeper connection that you had with it, are you, would you say, more in sync with that business versus the first one that you had?
Yes, it's definitely a very different relationship. Like, Best Life Mindset, which is my coaching business, is my passion project. And I love Face Logic, and it has been wonderful to me for the last 10 years and has been profitable and has allowed me work-life balance where I could raise my kids and have a great life and have a, still have an income and financial freedom. And I love that business, but my relationship with Best Life Mindset is very much one that is, my whole heart is in it every moment, because I believe I am helping people. And that is an amazing thing to be able to feel like you're doing. And I don't necessarily feel that, you know, every day through a regular business. But I didn't even know I was looking for that. And now I don't feel like I would ever want to not have this coaching business. You know, it's so funny how I wasn't looking for it and had a, you know, a moment of clarity and my whole life changed. And I have a whole second business that I work on now. And, you know, it's just, it's bizarre almost that that can happen in your mind and you can have that level of clarity that I had in that case.
And as a result of all of these shifts, both physical and those mental shifts and the mindset shifts that you've experienced, do you see yourself as somebody else, as somebody new, almost a new, different person?
I definitely am a completely different person than I was in 2011 or before in every possible way that you can imagine. Like that person almost doesn't exist. Like that person, I can't even remember how that person thought or what they felt, you know, whenever I think back. I mean, my whole life changed and I moved at the same time. And like I said, I completely reinvented myself. I got married, I moved in 2014, and I sort of took on just this new, it was really easy to do in that case because I moved and nobody knew the other person. And I got like this fresh start. And I, you know, changed in every single aspect of my life, the way I think, the way I talk, the way I interact with people, the way I keep commitments. Everything about me is different now. For the better, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. And for anybody that is perhaps wanting to make that shift, or maybe even in the process of making that shift, like you said, of that reinvention of yourself, would you say that there were any key aspects to that? I very much like that you said that it's the way that you think is different, the way that you speak, the way that you interact. Would you say that one part of that was the, as you said before, the catalyst for all of the others? Would you say it was the mindset and the difference in thinking that really started everything else? Or would you say that they were on level, like you said, different speaking habits, different commitment habits, and so on?
They happened very gradually through different avenues, if you will, like keeping commitments, for example. Like before, I would just, if I didn't feel like doing something, even though I had committed to it or whatever, I would just be like, oh, I'm sorry, that's not going to work out or whatever. Well, now I keep my commitments absolutely no matter what, right? And that was something that actually my sponsor from AA and very good friend Georgia, during the 12 steps, when we were going through 12 steps, that came up. And she was like, you have to keep your commitments. And now I realized through other, because I was constantly looking through resources at that time. I was looking online, I was reading books, trying to figure out how to make myself a better person and how to overcome all of these things and how to rebuild my life. And I had discovered during that time that also keeping commitments, for example, because you said you were going to do something, no matter how small it is, even if you tell yourself you're going to the gym, right? And you tell your husband that morning, oh, I'm going to go to the gym later. If you don't keep that commitment, it affects your relationship with like the universe, because you're saying that you're going to do one thing and another thing is happening. So then whenever you go to say, I am going to be so successful, you don't have the right energy. So it's important for a lot of different reasons besides just being a good person. It's like that congruence that we're talking about. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was a slow, I found different resources, I found different techniques, found different reasons why I should change things. And over time, it just made me into a completely different person as each facet of my life was changed.
And you're making a wonderful point here, Christy, and I feel like we are all very almost comfortable lying to ourselves, not keeping commitments to ourselves. Oh, with other people, sure, I'll be on time, but to myself, I can do that later. But like you're saying, and then when you imagine, oh, I'm successful, no, you're a liar, I don't trust you. So there's definitely that, like you said, that energy that changes, that you can't even really trust yourself after that.
Absolutely. And that's a horrible feeling. And you just don't feel right. So it's one of those things that is really important. It's all important, but that's one of them.
Definitely, definitely. And tell me, Christy, for anybody listening and for anybody that wants to learn more about what you do, where they can find you, your book, your website, where can they find you?
So our website is bestlifemindset.com. And we have a gift for anybody listening today. If you go on, you can get the free Reinvention Roadmap, which is a guided workbook exercise that essentially helps you think through your different values and where those are in alignment in your life, in your career, in your family life, in your personal relationships, in different areas of your life. And it helps you really think that through. It helps you, for example, if every job paid the same amount, what would I really be doing? It asks you those kinds of questions. And then it helps you think through, you know, in a perfect world, if money were no object, if I weren't in the situation I'm in today, what would my life look like in these different areas of my life? And then it helps you kind of get a start on taking actions in those different directions.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Perfect. Sounds like a very good idea. We'll be putting all of that in the descriptions and in the notes below. And Christy, do you have any maybe final words of wisdom, something that we didn't quite broach today, but something that you would like to share?
I think I would just like people to know that it's never too late to make a change, and it's never too hard to make any change. As I had mentioned, it's you know, it's so much easier than you think. Making the decision is really the hardest part, and then sticking to that decision. But doing the work and making the changes, if you can follow some strategies to reprogram your mindset and to really be supported through that change, whatever it is that you're thinking about making, you can do that. You can make that change, and it's not as hard as you think.
Wonderful message, Christy. Thank you very, very much for your time today. Thank you very much for being here. And I'm sure that anybody that listened today has learned a ton from you.
Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Hey, I'm glad to see you here. Let me know what you most enjoyed about this conversation. And if you have any questions, leave them in the comments below. I'll see you in the next one. Do zobaczenia.